What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're day two, NATA 2017 here in Houston, my home city. I am excited to be talking with Mark Gibson, head of the International Committee. So athletic training is headed in a different direction. Not in a different direction, but we're headed in different places. I recently talked to Dr. Mark Merrick and Scott Saylor talking about how Barcelona, Spain, they're having a school that's going to be open up in athletic training. There's other places that we're looking. That's probably going to be one of the first ones. And so Megan McKay, she asked me to interview you about the International Committee. So Mark Gibson, hello and welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's start off by talking about what is the International Committee.
Well, the International Committee is a committee of the NATA that serves the members of the association that are working, living abroad, and those that are interested in going abroad. A lot of athletic teams are traveling internationally now, and athletic trainers are traveling more and more, and we're trying to make that job a little bit easier for them.
All right, so what are some of the things that you're doing to make that job a little bit easier?
The committee's been involved in a lot of projects and programs that we've developed over the last few years. There's a wide variety of those things. We're following the strategic plan of the NATA, just like all the other committees. And so we're doing work to help advocate for the profession and help develop the profession internationally. And we've got a laundry list of 20, 30 projects that we've been working on over the last few years to do that. Each one is pretty exciting, and the NATA and the board of directors have been very supportive of our efforts. What we first found out internationally is as we started to get out there, there's a lot of people doing what we do internationally. They're not quite as well organized. They don't have our history, but they are doing the exact same thing. And what took us 70 years to get to this point in 2017, we're hoping to just cut that down a little bit for our international partners. If they can get what we got done in 70 years done in 10 or 15 years, athletic training would be in a great place.
All right, so what I'm hearing you, the goal of the International Committee is to be able to take what we're doing here currently in the United States and transplant it to other countries fitting their environment.
Exactly. It's not that we could take exactly what we're doing here elsewhere. It's a little too heavy-handed. So each country has its own unique healthcare environment. Each country has its own unique sports environment. And so we're just offering our services to groups internationally a la carte. If they need a little bit of help with one area, we'll help them with that area. If they want a more comprehensive plan, we'll help them with a more comprehensive plan. But our members are looking to go overseas. And a lot of these folks overseas have joined the NATA as international members. And so because they're members of the association, we feel we have a need to service them.
I know I've talked to my buddy Caleb Lott. He is at Shanghai American School in China. He's an athletic trainer, first athletic trainer there at that school. And now they have another one. And so what has been in the International Committee is you've been in charge of it for 4 years, right?
Yep.
What has been the biggest challenge that you've seen in those 4 years?
Well, China is interesting because it's a kind of a top-down model. So what happened in 2015, which was huge for the profession of athletic training in China, is that the government recognized the profession. Once the government recognized the profession, they turned to the folks in medicine and sport and said, make it happen. And so they're in the process of developing academic programs, certification programs, regulatory requirements in government. They're having to set up all those things in a very short period of time. So the government gave them a few years to get things rolling, and they've got to get moving. So we've been working with the National Institute of Sports Medicine in China. It's the official sports medicine arm for the amateur athletes in China. It's the Olympic Committee. It's their Olympic Athletic Training and Sports Medicine Group. So we've been working with them pretty closely. They've got a delegation here this year. They were here last year. They spoke at our international session last year on the collaboration between traditional Chinese medicine and Western medicine. So they're here again this year. They've got physicians that are herbalists. that use herbs to treat traditional Chinese medicine. They've got acupuncturists here, and they've got Western medicine folks here. So they've assembled a delegation to come see what we're doing and to get a better understanding what athletic training actually is, and then to help us to establish that profession in China.
All right, so talk a little bit about Barcelona. So we got a group in Spain, a school in Spain that is right kind of in line. Tell me a little bit more about that.
There's actually two universities in Barcelona and Spain. One is in Barcelona, Ramon Llull University. They have a school of health sciences called Blanquerna. They're in full development mode for a CADE-accredited athletic training education program in Barcelona. They'll be applying for accreditation services here next month, and hopefully we'll see that program further develop and come to fruition here in the next couple years. There's another university in Madrid, UCJC, who's actually hosting the World Congress for Athletic Training and Therapy in Madrid in October. And so they've already applied for accreditation services. They have their application in CADE. They said, we're going forward. We want access to all the documentation that needs to be completed. And they are on their way to adding a program. So within the next 2 or 3 years, we're likely to see two master's degrees in athletic training housed in Spain. Students that are fully CADE accredited, students graduating from those programs will be eligible to take the BOC exam.
And then in that situation, would those BOC certified Madrid natives be able to come over to the United States and practice?
Sure. They'd have their same BOC credential, their same undergraduate degrees that our students have or our folks have, everything that a young professional would have. They're looking at the master's degrees, and likely they will require their bachelor's degrees to be in physical therapy, which is common in Europe. They don't have master's degrees or DPTs or anything like that in physical therapy. They require a bachelor's degree, and so they'll take physical therapists, train them at a higher level to become athletic trainers, which is quite the reverse of what we're doing here in the U.S.
All right, so looking at some of the projects that you guys have accomplished, what has been the one that has been closest to your heart that you have been a part of being on this committee?
Well, I've been a part of a lot of them. Our committee is very active. I've got 10 folks that you get in a room with them, they'll make your head spin. They've got more ideas than I can keep up with. I've got four spreadsheets right now that I'm trying to keep track of. And they are working hard. We've done a number of projects. So one that's right on the brink of success here is the International Speaker Program that we developed. The International Speaker Program, we've got a fund dedicated by the board of directors to send our speakers overseas to speak at international symposiums and conferences. What's exciting about this is that the NATA will fund those speakers to go over, and they will brand their presentations as NATA presentations. It'll get the brand of the NATA out there. It'll let the rest of the world know at these international conferences that there's a group in the U.S. called Athletic Trainers, and that we have a fair amount of expertise. We've got expertise in areas that they're interested in, concussion and heat illness and emergency action plans, and just a whole content level that they are just coming upon now as they get more and more organized. We want NATA to be the global leader in athletic training and therapy. I don't care what you call it in the country, but we want NATA to be the global leader.
All right. If someone wants to find out more about that specific program, what's going to be the best way to do that?
Visit the webpage. The NATA webpage has an International Speakers Program webpage. There's an application process. There are higher level symposiums and conferences that will mean a lot more to us. And those conferences get graded higher. But we're looking for our best and brightest and our scientists to take our message abroad. And it's going to be important to have solid presentations that have been accepted by those conferences to to be fruitful and to get some ROI on that investment that the NATA is making.
All right, how long have you been part of the International Committee?
I've been chair of the International Committee for 4 years. I've got one more year, and then I'll be rolling off. I've been involved internationally for about 15 years.
All right, so in those 15 years of your experience with international athletic training, what has been the single most like eye-opening or shocking thing? You're like, I never thought that that would happen.
Well, we've done the academic programs being accredited overseas is huge. I never thought that was coming. I didn't envision the International Speakers Program. But we there's been a lot of really huge steps forward the last few years, and it's hard to pick out one thing. I think the one thing I started 15 years ago was just introducing ourselves to some medicine folks overseas. I walked into a professor's office and I says, you know, I'm looking to place a student in a sports medicine clinic here in Germany. And the professor says, well, I happen to own a sports medicine clinic, so that's done. We'll do that. We'll take your student. And he says, but we've scheduled an hour and a half for this meeting. We just completed the agenda. He says, is there anything else you'd like to talk about? And so we got talking. He had some books in his office behind his desk. I looked up. I said, hey, that's the same textbook I used when I learned medical physiology. He says, yeah, how about this one? And he pulled out a biomechanics text. Yeah, we use that one too. You know, and we realized we have a lot more in common than we have in differences.
Yeah.
And that commonality has really propelled us. And that's the one thing that I think I've learned is the world is a small place. And we have a lot of folks just like us doing just like what we do elsewhere around the world. And if we can help them along, I think that's really important for the growth of the profession and for what I call the internationalization of athletic training.
All right. So if like a lot of athletic trainers want to travel, you know, we get so busy with our schedule, we don't have spring break. We don't have summer break because of summer workouts, that kind of thing. Is the international program focused on a long-term athletic trainer overseas, or is this an opportunity for someone to travel and visit different countries, work in different places?
Yeah, yes and yes. We've got programs developed for short-term travel with teams, for students, for study tours. We've got programs developed for longer-term things. You bring up the ATs in China. They've developed internships. They're primarily working with the international schools in China. And we got programs to address international schools. We're getting ready to kick off a new program called International Ambassadors of the NATA. So if you're going to Tanzania, we likely have a member that's been to Tanzania and has some expertise there and can point you to the right restaurants and, more importantly, point you to the right healthcare facilities. And we want to put you in contact with that member. So we've got 45,000 members, 50,000 members, and we've got a lot of expertise out there that's untapped. And every day I find out about somebody going somewhere that I didn't know about before. And we want to tap that membership and make sure that any member that wants to go anywhere in the world has an NATA member that they can reach out to and find more information about that country.
All right, very good. And you said they go to NATA website, so NATA.org, and then click on the international tab or search international.
Yep, and we have an international page there. We update it on a regular basis. We assure its accuracy. Every 3 months, we do a review of the webpage. And so we're making sure the links are hot, that they're working, and we're adding things in there all the time. We've got some toolkits available in there. Every athletic trainer likes to have a kit, and those toolkits are specific information about specific content areas, and we're developing new toolkits every year. So,
all right, and is that also the best way to get a hold of you, or is there like a contact me form?
Yep, there is a contact form there. My email address is there. The International Speakers Program subcommittee chair's email is there. We're wide open to contacting us at work answering the questions as they come in. We get a lot of emails, and we respond to every single one of them. It might take us 24 hours, but we respond to every single one of them.
All right, so I see you're wearing a green jacket. Either you're really good at golf or you're in the NATA Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your story.
It is not the former. So I can play at golf, but I do not play anything that resembles golf. But I am an NATA Hall of Fame member, very honored to go into that Hall of Fame in 2014. I've been on the board of directors of the NATA, and we were lucky enough to move the profession forward while I was on the board, and been involved in the volunteer positions with the association for many, many years. The Hall of Fame is something that even now as I'm talking about it, there's a little shivers on my arm. If you've not been to a Hall of Fame induction, it's one of the most moving experiences of the convention. I invite everybody to attend to that this afternoon. It's during the general session. It's a moving experience for the members and certainly for the Hall of Fame members. We're proud to wear these jackets. We're very humble about them. You won't see them on us all week, but it's a pretty special occasion. So.
Very good. Tell me a little bit about your story. Where did you start out in athletic training and go from there?
Yeah, I started out in athletic training back in the 70s, and I went to school at an approved program. The approved program had two athletic training courses and five related courses. That was an approved academic program at that time. And went to an academic program, got my graduate degree, went off and worked for a few years, ended up in a college setting, working at college athletics. And 32 years ago, was lucky enough to go to the University of Wisconsin La Crosse as a head athletic trainer there, and took care of all the athletes. I was the only athletic trainer. And 32 years later, we've got 18 athletic trainers on staff, and working with 19 sports. And it's been a real privilege to be a part of the profession and be involved in it. I've always kind of switched things up. I'm one of those folks that don't believe in burnout. I think if you're in a situation where you're not feeling motivated and passionate about your position, it's probably time to change things up a little bit. One of the things I did is I became involved in servicing the profession through our national district and state associations. So if you're in a situation where you're feeling just a little tired and worn out from your job, I'd encourage you to look at some new things. And volunteer service certainly has inspired me and kept my passion for the profession for many years. And it's a great profession. Great profession.
I know Megan McKay was super excited to be asked to be on the international committee, and she's done a good bit of traveling and working with rugby teams and in Wales. I think it was Wales. I apologize for my
ignorance. That's Wales.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And so again, she's involved in a couple different things, and so just finding a time for her to come in here and, you know, interview was even tough because she's volunteering and helping and speaking liaison between the hospital and the NATA as they were setting up speakers and stuff like that. And so I'm glad that she recommended you to come over.
Yeah.
And it's a pleasure to talk to you. Mark Gibson, again, NATA.org, international tab. There's opportunity for athletic trainers to go short term, to go study, to go long term, international, and almost anywhere that there might be sports or an opportunity for sports and medicine, then you guys are either working on it or have somebody that has been there.
Yeah, that's right. Megan has been a great addition to the committee. She's just started this at this meeting. She had some unique background, and we were looking for somebody with just her expertise, and more importantly, as those of you in District 6 know her for her energy. She is a high-octane gal.
Yes.
And so we're looking for those types of folks. We're not looking for anybody that's looking to get a name tag or anything like that. We want folks that are looking for work, and we are a busy committee, and we work at our stuff, and we're getting a lot done because of that. And Megan fit the bill. So she's one of our new committee members. It's a great incoming class of members, good diversity, and we're really looking forward to her input on the committee. So we got a number of partners here. I just want to bring up real quick, Professional Baseball Athletic Trainer Society has been long involved in international efforts. They host a reception for the international presidents, and they've been very supportive over the years. We could not do what we're doing without PBATS. And I just want to do a shout out for them. The other group that really needs a shout out is JATO, the Japanese Athletic Trainers Organization. You know, we've got less than 1,000 members overseas, but 40% of that membership is in the JATO in Japan. And they've been a longtime affiliate of the NATA, and longtime friends of the NATA, and they're here every year in force. They're one of our best attendees, and I just want to thank them for all the support they've given the NATA over the years. The last group I'd like to bring up just real quick is the World Federation of Athletic Training and Therapy. The World Federation is an association of associations worldwide. And they are hosting their 8th Congress. They host a Congress every other year. This year's is in Madrid, and it's September 29th, October 3rd. That World Congress is bringing folks just like us from all over the world to a single location. The meeting has been outstandingly organized. They've had over 70 submissions for abstracts that have been reviewed. It'll be a well-run meeting, and I'd encourage everybody to look at Madrid, late September, early October. It's a great time of year to be there. If you could get away and you're needing a little vacation, Madrid, the 8th Congress will be the great conference to go to. Just make sure you add a day or two in front of it and a day or two after, so you can get around Spain a little bit.
Of course. Yeah.
Any final parting thoughts?
Yeah, no, we're just excited for what's happening. Some of the programs that we've put out there are being recognized on a national level. I'm not sure folks understand the professional NATA staff that we have, but there is an association of association executives. It's highly regarded in the U.S., and some of our programs, including the International Speaker Program, is being recognized by that group. And it's through the excellent work that's going on by the NATA staff. Tamisha Logan is our liaison, and she fits our bill for energy. And very energetic lady, and she is getting it done for us. But she's being questioned by that National Association of Executives about these programs. And NATA has been on the cutting edge of that group for a long time in a wide variety of areas, but we're excited to be part of that. And so things are happening fast, and we're trying to keep up, and we're trying to push forward. And I think we got some visionaries out there where it regards international activities. The NATA Executive Director, Dave Sadler, and President Scott Saylor, you spoke to yesterday, both of them see international as a win-win. There is nothing to lose by investing in a little international activity. It's only going to gain us more worldwide recognition. It's only going to internationalize the profession. It's only going to make NATA better and stronger. And it's only going to benefit our members. So we look forward to being a part of that, and we're excited to be doing what we're doing.
All right. Well, Jeremy Jackson, host of the Sports Medicine Broadcast here at NATA 2017 Expo, live from the Dragonfly booth, speaking with Mark Gibson from the International Committee. It was a pleasure, sir. And that is a wrap. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy.